Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministries. Praise the Lord, saints. We're going to do this message in 2 15-minute increments, one now and one tomorrow night. And we're going to talk about the love of God tonight. Amen. And 1 John 4 and 21, we're going to turn over there first. And 1 John 4 and 20, the Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And the Bible says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let's talk about this for a minute. How can you say you love God and you don't love your brother? We're going to talk about some scriptures that talk about how do we show that we have love for the brethren. This message tonight is on love, and not just any kind of love, but God's love. And we have to ask God to fill our hearts with his love. I've been listening to a lot of people talk, a lot of Christian speakers lately, and they talk about a liquid love, that when God's love comes upon you, it feels like he's pouring love into your heart, like it's liquefied. It just comes all over you. Amen. And I believe this is the type of love that we have got to have in order to see miracles. But this message is on the love of God, and I have asked God to let me work miracles, and amen. And God always tells me, in order to work miracles and to walk into my power, you have to have a love for the people. That's what makes you want to be to perform miracles. That's what makes your faith come alive. Amen. So let's look at some scriptures. Amen. But God showed me that miracles come from him only out of a heart of love for the people. And we don't realize how important love is in the body of Christ. But in the word of God in 1 John here we see, he that loveth God must also love his brother. Let's turn over to Luke 11 and 42. And the Bible says, we're going to start in verse 37. As Jesus spoke, a certain Pharisee came to him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which outside make also that is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. We talk about tithing, which is good, and this is a scripture that shows that tithing is for the New Testament church. But the Bible says you tithe, but you pass over two things, judgment and the love of God. Hallelujah. And, you know, this is what really got to me, because you can tithe just out of being religious. Amen. And you should tithe. But in order to really, really get to the heart of God and the heart of the church is the love of God. And Jesus said, these ought you to have done. Amen. Because they were omitting the love of God and judgment, righteous judgment. Amen. Jesus said, you ought to tithe, but don't leave the other undone. Amen. So let's go back into my notes. Amen. In Luke 11 and 42, he says, Don't forget about the love of God. Amen. We preach so much telling people what not to do, saints, but we hardly ever preach telling people what they need to do to be saved. It's not always what we stop doing sometimes, but it's the fact that we don't start doing certain things that make us not pleasing to the Lord. Now let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, and the Bible says, now Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Let's talk about this scripture in Deuteronomy 10 and 12. The Bible says, what does the Lord require? Now, this is very important. That word require is very important, saints, because it shows you that this is a requirement of God to everyone. And we're going to take this apart. This message is going to come out of Deuteronomy 10 and 12. So let's talk about this today and tomorrow. He said, what does the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul? So let's talk about fearing God. The first requirement here, he said, to fear the Lord. Now, in Psalms 1 and 11 and 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in order to have wisdom, we have to fear the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom, to fear the Lord. And I'm not talking about being afraid that God is going to throw you into hell or being afraid of God or approaching unto him, but I'm talking about a reverential fear where you are afraid to do wrong because you don't want him to cast you out of his sight. Just like David said when he sinned, he said, take not thine Holy Spirit away from me. He said, cast me not away from your presence. Amen. So this is the type of fear I'm talking about, being afraid to get out of the presence of God or to be away from the Lord. Amen. So the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. In Psalms 34 and 9, the Bible says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. We're going to talk about some of the blessings that come from obeying Deuteronomy 10 and 12. And the first phase says to fear the Lord. So some of the blessings that come from fearing God, the Bible says there is no want to them that fear him. We always talk about prosperity. We always talk about being blessed. We always talk about the Lord meeting our needs. But we need to know the fear of the Lord. If you fear him, the Bible says, there will be no want or no lack in your life. Amen. And how many of you know that we have that testimony tonight that because we do fear the Lord, amen, there is no want in our lives. Praise God. Not everybody can say that, saints. The second requirement is to walk in all of his ways. Key word here, all of his ways. It's easy to do some of the things, but sometimes it's hard to do everything the way the Lord tells you to do it unless you really, really, really are determined and diligent, the Bible says. Diligently seek him. You have to be diligent. You have to be on the money. You have to be really just all in. You have to be 100% in. You can't serve God 90%. You have to give God your all. But the Bible says to walk in all his ways. In Deuteronomy 5 and 33, the Bible says, ye shall walk in all the ways that the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land that you possess. So the blessings that come from walking in all the ways of the Lord is right here. We see three blessings. Number one, that you're going to live, hallelujah, and not die. Praise the Lord. Number two, that it's going to be well with you. Remember the woman that said, it is well with my soul? It is going to be well with you if you walk in all the ways of the Lord. The Bible said that it may be well with you, number two. And number three, that you prolong your days on the earth or in your blessing. When God blesses you, you want to prolong your days so you can enjoy the blessing of the Lord. The third requirement in this verse in Deuteronomy 10 and 12 is to love him. The blessings, let's talk about the blessings that come from loving God. In Deuteronomy 30 and 16, the Bible says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. We talked about multiply last week when Pastor was teaching on seed and seed faith harvest. Multiply the seed that you've sown. Amen. God wants to multiply your life. Amen. He said, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land that you go to possess. Amen. So the one blessing that comes from loving God, and this is a requirement, the third requirement in Deuteronomy 10 and 12, is to love the Lord. He said, I command thee in Deuteronomy 30 and 16. This is Moses talking. The Lord gave Moses this, and he said, to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. If you do that, the Bible says, you're going to live, you're going to multiply, and the Lord is going to bless you in the land where he gives you to go and possess the land. We want to possess the land, but we want God's blessing to be on our life, that thou mayest live and multiply, your seed is going to multiply, and God shall bless thee. Let's go to Psalms 145 and 12, still talking about the third requirement, to love God. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. So here we see, when you love God, he has promised in his word to preserve you and keep you. We want to be preserved, but we forget, the Bible says, we have to love him with our whole heart. If you want to be preserved, you need to fall in love with Jesus. He has promised to preserve you. He preserves, the Bible says in 145 and 12 in Psalms, all that love him. Romans 8 and 28, the Bible says, and we know that all things, it's a familiar verse to many Christians, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So here's another benefit from loving God in Deuteronomy 10 and 12. If you love God, you are promised that he will work everything out for you. All things are going to work together if you love God. Amen. The fourth requirement is to serve him. Let's look at some of the blessings that come from serving God. The blessings that come from serving him, in Job 36 and 11, the Bible says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. So when we serve him, we are promised to live out our days in prosperity and our years in pleasure just by serving God. This one I have to meditate on because it blessed me so much just to know that by serving him, he has promised in his word that I will spend my days in prosperity and my years in pleasure. Amen. Hebrews 12 and 28, wherefore we receive in a kingdom, this is Paul talking to the Hebrew church, which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We serve him, number one, with grace. By the grace of God, we are able to serve him with reverence and godly fear because we have received a kingdom, Paul says, that cannot be moved. We look for a kingdom that is not of this world. Amen. These are the blessings that come from loving God. But what about loving others? This is the key point I want to talk about tonight. In looking at how we treat others, we need to look at the word compassion. That's a word that we're going to talk about. I'm going to get started tonight. I'm going to end tomorrow night. But let's look at the word of compassion. In Psalm 78 and 38, the Bible says, talks about the compassion of God. He forgave the children of Israel and destroyed them not. Many times he turned his anger away from them because he had compassion on them and turned away his wrath. Psalms 86 and 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. So first we see that God is a God that's full of compassion. Let's talk about the New Testament. This is more dealing with us and what we should be trying to do. In Matthew 14 and 14, the Bible says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. I'm convinced, saints, that if we cannot move in the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit until we first get love and compassion in our hearts for the people of God. The Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. It was the compassion of Jesus that caused him to heal the sick. Matthew 20 and 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. This is talking about the blind man, amen, that followed Jesus. He had compassion on them. That's Matthew 20 and 34. Mark 1 and 41, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched them, and said unto them, I will, be thou cleansed. He was talking to the lepers here. He was moved with compassion on the lepers, amen. And this was an incurable disease. So this is anybody with cancer, anybody with HIV, anybody with any kind of incurable disease. Just know that the compassion of the Lord will reach out and touch you, and he does will for you to be healed, amen. There are miracles after miracles after miracles, saints. I could spend hours talking about the word compassion and relationship to miracles. But I want you to know that every miracle just about was brought on by the compassion or love of Jesus. And this is the last scripture I'm going to read right here in Luke 15 and 20. The Bible said that the compassion caused the father to forgive the prodigal son and take him back into his home. When the prodigal son left, we're going to talk about this tomorrow night. We're going to read the whole story in Luke chapter 15. But the Bible says that the father had compassion on the prodigal son and forgave him. And I think that's what's missing from the church. Amen. We need to have compassion so we can walk in love and forgiveness toward one another. God bless you. My time is up. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I'll see you tomorrow night. This is Evangelist Amos signing off from Manna Teaching Ministry. Good night.